Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus, chapter 12. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to open your word together, to reflect upon this important book and the wonderful truth that we see revealed to us, Lord. So teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I didn't want this to happen. These are supposed to be overviews of the book, but we're just going to look at one chapter in Exodus tonight because I couldn't quite just gloss over chapter 12, because here we find the Passover and the Exodus itself. So that's really kind of central to this book. And notice the way chapter 12 begins, verse 2, I think it is. He says, "This month shall be unto you a beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So that's Passover. God changed the calendar. This was the seventh month of their civil calendar, but God changed the calendar, gave them a religious calendar, and Passover, which speaks of our redemption, is the new year. A new year begins because of Passover. And redemption really does mark a beginning for Israel, a new life, a new beginning for this nation after 430 years in Egypt. And this pictures for us the fact that redemption for the Christian is also the beginning of a new life. And this speaks of the fact that everything is now going to be new for Israel. Their old life of bondage in Egypt is over, and all things are become new for this people. And Israel was to leave Egypt behind in the Exodus, and they were to forget what they were. They were slaves, but no longer. They were leading vain, burdensome lives, but they were to forget those things which are behind, and they were to press towards this new life where God led them. And so, as redeemed ones, Israel no longer is what they used to be. Slaves in physical bondage to the Pharaoh in Egypt, which is a picture of the sinner's bondage to sin and Satan in this world. And these events in the book of Exodus, while they do teach us a spiritual truth, these are not allegories. These aren't fairy tales or fiction that were designed to teach us a spiritual or a moral lesson. This is real history for Israel. And this is amazing to me, that God created history and he sovereignly arranged historical events in such a way that they would portray things that would happen thousands of years in the future, our redemption. So as you look in Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 11, God gives instructions concerning the Passover, and he tells Israel what they were to do. And then notice in verse 3, we'll just go over this quickly. In verse 3, the first month in this religious calendar, every household was to take a lamb, a four-legged creature. Could be a lamb, could have been a goat. And in verse 5, this lamb was to be a male without blemish of the first year. It was to be the prime of its life, a perfect lamb. And then in verse 6, they were told that they were to keep it. They were to keep it from the 10th day until the 14th day when they were to leave. And they were to keep it, they were to have it ahead of time, because God didn't want them all scrambling at the last minute to go find a perfect lamb. They had to do it ahead of time and be ready when it was time for the Exodus. And God told them also in the evening of the 14th, that the lamb was to be slain, it was to be killed. And the entire congregation of Israel, that whole nation, this generation of Jews that were to be delivered out of bondage in Egypt, really represented the whole nation for many generations to come. And in verse 7, they were to apply the blood to the doorposts, to the top and the sides of their doorposts. So they were to slay the lamb. It was to be killed. Its blood was to be shed. And that blood was to be daubed on the side and the doorpost, the top of the doorpost. And then they were to eat that lamb. They were not to boil it, but they were to roast it. And they were to eat every bit of it. They weren't to leave anything behind. No trace of it was to be left behind. No bone was to be broken. And this speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and was never seen since, except for a few apostles that saw him in a vision. Then in verse 11, notice that they were to eat the lamb with their loins girded up. That meant their tunic was to be tied up with a belt around their waist. They were to have a staff in their hands and shoes on, and they were to be ready to run at any moment. And they were to be ready for the exodus. And exodus means an exit. There was going to be a mass exodus out of the nation of Egypt. And then they were given instructions for future generations. In verse 14, this Passover feast, that the original one in verse 12, was to be continued every year for every generation in Israel. And it was to be for a memorial. God never wanted the Jews to forget this lesson. Redemption and then deliverance from bondage. And that's always the order. There can be no exodus without a Passover. And so this was to be a reminder for the Jews for generations to come. And then we see in verses 12 and 13, God had already told the Jews what they were to do, and then God tells them what he's going to do. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token or a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So here the Lord says he's going to smite. This was the 10th plague to fall upon the nation of Egypt. And the plague was the firstborn son would die. This was divine wrath upon a nation, Egypt, that was ripe for judgment. And it was not only a judgment on Egypt, but on their worship system, their gods. And so the sign, there was to be a sign or a token on the homes of all the Jews. The blood was to be daubed around the front doorpost. And this indicated that this was a Jewish house. This indicated that these were the people that responded to Moses' message. They applied the blood to their house. These people belong to God. And God said when he sees the blood, he will pass over that house. And he will not smite the firstborn. There'll be no death. There'll be no judgment. There'll be no condemnation to those who have applied the blood of the Lamb in faith. And so that night, Israel was spared from condemnation because a Passover lamb was slain and its blood was shed and applied by faith. And that Passover lamb, that original Passover lamb, indicated an innocent victim would die for the guilty sinners. And when God saw the blood, he would pass over that household. They would avoid divine wrath and divine judgment when God saw the blood. So everything had to do with the blood of the Passover lamb. And this is central in the progress of revelation in the Bible, and in particular in the book of Exodus. This is a picture of God's plan of redemption for the ages. And of course, that lamb we know as Christ, our Passover. So let's now look at some of the typology in this book. The Passover and its lamb was a picture of redemption from sin and condemnation. So it's a picture of our salvation, past tense of salvation, when we were redeemed by the blood. And then the Exodus is a picture of our deliverance from slavery or bondage to sin and the world system. And we see this truth in the New Testament as well. Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world system. Once redeemed by the blood has power also to deliver us from bondage to our enemies, to the world system. And Paul writes of our deliverance from another enemy, our sin nature. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve as a slave our sin nature. Sin in the singular, the nature. For he that is dead is freed, rescued, delivered from bondage to our sin nature. And that's pictured for us in the book of Exodus. So the Passover is a picture of our redemption and deliverance from the condemnation of sin. That's the past tense of salvation, escaping the wrath of God. And the Exodus is a picture of being redeemed or delivered from the power of sin and also from the power and influence of the world system. That's the present tense of salvation. Conditional truth, our sanctification. We escape bondage from our earthly enemies. And so in the book of Exodus, the Jews were freed from their slavery of over 400 years. But once freed, and this is an amazing thing, they wanted to go back. It's kind of mind-boggling that a nation of people who were in bondage to slavery, cruel slavery, for four centuries, once freed, would ever want to go back. Now let's look at the typology here in the book of Exodus. And many songs have the typology somewhat a little distorted. But let's just think about what the book of Exodus is teaching us. It's a book about redemption. God uses the literal history of Israel, actual real life people, real history, to teach spiritual lessons about redemption. And so on this Passover night, the Passover lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. No question about that. In fact, Paul says Christ is our Passover. And Egypt is a type of the world system. That's where the nation of Israel was in bondage, under hard labor, in a cruel, evil world. And Pharaoh was a type of Satan, opposing God. And slavery was a type of bondage to spiritual enemies for us. So the slavery of the Jews in Egypt was a picture of God's people being in bondage to their spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And of course, Moses is also not only the Passover lamb is a picture of Christ, but so is Moses. And the book of Hebrews tells us that. Moses, like Christ, is our mediator, and he is our redeemer. Moses redeemed a physical people from physical bondage. Jesus Christ redeemed us from spiritual bondage. And the Exodus is a type of our deliverance from our enemies. And so there's an order of events, and God carefully arranged the order in this history in order to teach us these truths. So think first, the freedom of the Exodus. When those Jews were finally freed and able to exit the country, that freedom to exit was based upon the blood of the Passover lamb. Had there been no blood splashed upon those Jewish houses, they too would have perished. And every victory and every blessing of the believer's life today is based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're counting upon the finished work of Christ, not only for our salvation, but also for our sanctification. And the typology in the book of Exodus supports these truths that we see revealed in much more detail later on in the Bible. So salvation begins, redemption begins by applying the blood, and we apply the blood by faith. And at that moment, a person applies the blood, he's born again. He begins a new life of faith. So his life starts over, so to speak. Just as Passover, God changed the calendar so that Passover was the new year began. And after Passover, as soon as Passover was finished, then and only then did Israel have the freedom and the opportunity to live a new life free from bondage, to live a new life of faith. That's when it began, after Passover. Couldn't have the Exodus and then the Passover. And so the Israelites were freed. But freedom from bondage, an opportunity that God gave them to live a new life by faith, do not guarantee that a godly lifestyle will be lived. So God provided everything Israel needed. The Passover lamb provided redemption, and that resulted in the opportunity for freedom from bondage and the opportunity to escape the world system and to enter into a new life and to walk with God by faith. But Israel's history demonstrates that they did not use their liberty wisely. And as we see in 1 Corinthians 10, and we'll be there shortly in our Sunday school lesson, but with many of them who exited Egypt, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were redeemed. They had opportunity to walk with God by faith and lead a holy life, but they didn't. And so it's possible, we learn from the book of Exodus, it's possible to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, to be justified by faith, to be set free from the bondage of sin, chains have been torn asunder, to be delivered from Satan, the god of this world, to have victory over the whole world system in Christ, and to be given every opportunity for a victorious Christian life. It's possible for a redeemed person to start off his new life well and then to make poor choices and to develop a carnal attitude and to seek to return to the same old evil world out of which God redeemed you, us, at the cost of his Son. And we see this all predicted in Israel's history. This is just what they did. So, like the note says here, stay tuned for the book of Numbers. They were given every opportunity to walk with God by faith. They were given every opportunity for victory, but they made poor choices. They had a terrible attitude, and eventually they wanted to go back to Egypt, believe it or not. They complained and murmured, and we see that in Numbers. So, we see in Exodus, in typology, some important principles that are kind of being debated in our day and age. And here's one: beginning a new life well, being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, does not guarantee that we end that life well. And that's what Paul feared for the Galatians. He said, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" They began well. But then the Judaizers came in and infected them with legalism. And Paul says, "Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" They started off well, but Paul feared that they weren't going to end well. The typology in the book of Numbers illustrates this truth. In Numbers 14 and verse 4, they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and return to Egypt." You know what they remembered about Egypt? All the pleasant things. The leeks and the cucumbers and the onions. And they remembered that. But they somehow seemed to have forgotten being beaten and whipped and made put under hard labor all day long. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. So we're learning about redemption. It doesn't guarantee that we end well. And so we will pick this up. Let's see here. What did I just do? Okay. We will pick this up next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the introduction to Passover and Exodus, the Exodus that we see in this chapter, and the lessons that we can learn about redemption and about living the Christian life even today. Father, we thank you for your wisdom in incorporating these principles, and even in Israel's history thousands of years ago, and yet they are so practical and helpful for us today. We pray that we might learn these lessons in Jesus' name. Amen.